difficulties, but as Trace Sitter here was saying, she's quite happy about that because of a debauched evening last night. Her voice is not in fine form, and she'd like to save it for singing. And she doesn't actually want to talk very much about herself, right, Trace?
Right.
Do you want to say a few things about yourself, though?
Well, sure.
Singer-songwriter, and you're from London, Ontario, originally.
That's right. Well, if you want to ask me something, I'll certainly answer it.
Oh, yeah?
Sure.
Well?
Ask away.
Well, what would you like to talk about? Do you want to talk about London stories, or does that have any relevance to your, I don't know, life here and now, your songwriting now? Or would you rather talk about your songs now? The lyrics you write? The way you sing? Look at this, I'm answering all for you.
Well, I don't know how much London has to do with my songwriting, other than that it helped, you know, make me some of who I am.
I'd say.
Some of what I... But, well, we only have about 30 seconds.
Trace really wants to sing. She's not much on talking. So, Trace Sitter has been on Dykes on Mics a couple of times, and she sings around town. She's gaining a bit of a profile for herself, I would say. And so I think really what she wants to do is sing. She writes her own tunes, she writes her own lyrics, and she loves to sing, and she loves to perform. So all I would say at this point is maybe to keep your ears and eyes open for any notice of Trace Sitter, and I would encourage you to attend any performance or show that she's at, because she's one of ours. Okay, Trace, why don't you sing?
Thanks, Deb. This one is called Bloody Boys Club Raps, and it was written about the gay bashing by the cops last summer. So I was going to sing just a few love songs, but I think this is particularly relevant. Side by side, with our arms entwined, yeah, we faced those cops as they stood in lines, as they slammed their sticks. Broken bodies lay, you and I agree, we would walk away. Still they smashed your arm, and they poked my breast, and they power-tripped in their gun-proof vest, from those leather boots to the mirrored specs, I despised a lot. Bloody Boys Club Reps, Bloody Boys Club Reps. We're here, we're queer, and so are some of you. Through everything you say, through everything you do. We're here, we're queer, and so are some of you. Through everything you say, through everything you do. Side by side, with our arms entwined, yeah, we faced those cops as they stood in lines. From those leather boots to the mirrored specs, I despised a lot. Bloody Boys Club Reps, Bloody Boys Club Reps, Bloody Boys Club Reps.
Thank you, Trace.
You're welcome, Deb.
And you want to sing another tune, because we've got a few minutes left, right?
That'd be great. This one is a pretty new song, and it's written for someone, but it's about a very sort of general thing, non-monogamy.
Oh, you're exploring that in your life, are you?
I am exploring that, and it's
with some success, or what do you think?
It's very difficult, and with some success, I don't know.
Okay, but I guess, I don't know, you learn anyway, don't you?
I've certainly learned a lot, yeah.
So this is about non-monogamy?
Yeah, it's about the difficulties and then the joys of it. You know, specifically as they relate to my life.
Which is how you write a tune anyway.
That's exactly right. Okay, so I'll just go into it.
She's baby powdered her hands. Here we go.
It's called Lover Who Will Take You There. If I fall in love, will I wanna call you mine? Right now my fear is of crossing that line. long time in love, that you're someone else's also number one. It's a complicated time for me. Have to wonder what I want when I consider what I ask for. It's very nearly what I've got. Still, I wonder if it works. My eyes follow other beauties, but my heart thinks of you first. We sit around or we talk over coffee, maybe holding hands. No cinematic smokescreen wonderland, but you've got a lover who looks up to you. You've got a lover who will undress you. Got a lover who will take you there. You've got a lover who will take you there. If I fall in love, will I leave my head behind? Right now my fear is a fly. Brought me something new. I've been a long time away. Maybe something new's too much a price to pay. It's a complicated time for me. I have to wonder what I want when I consider what I ask for. It's very nearly what I got. Still, I wonder if it works. My eyes follow other beauties, but my heart thinks of you first. We sit around or we talk over coffee, maybe holding hands. No cinematic smokescreen wonderland, but you've got a lover who looks up to you. You've got a lover who will undress you. You got a lover who will take
you there. You got a lover who will take you there. Beautiful. Actually, I have heard you sing that tune before at Lilith.
Yeah, that's right. That's when my guitar strap fell off.
But you are calm and cool under pressure. And how are you doing here? Do you want to talk a bit about yourself? Not about yourself. I'm being silly, but I mean, being a lesbian, how does that sort of figure into your definition of yourself as a singer-songwriter? I mean, it's got everything to do with it by the lyrics, really.
Well, in terms of making a living, which I don't do now with music, but I'd like to. Being an out lesbian anyway is something that's always on my mind. I want to do that. I want to be out, and I suspect I'll have an audience for that sort of thing. But it gives me a lot to think about. I mean, it would be a lot easier to cover up all of my she's and make them he's, and that sort of a thing.
And then do the circuit on the street.
Yeah.
Sort of rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you sort of expect to tackle this career thing, you know? Getting paid for doing what you do and to make a living at it. How hard is that going to be?
Well, in the back of my head, I guess I believe in myself enough to figure that if I when I get a CD together from some people, you know, with the help of some people that I know, that my talent will just sort of carry me. I mean, obviously,
just gonna shine through.
So I'm gonna have to find a manager at some point to do the sort of real telephone type work and promotion.
An agent, yeah.
Yeah. But I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, in any case, I mean, lesbian or not, the music industry itself has got to be one of the more difficult ones to break into, but
no,
maybe
I think you're
not.
Right. I think it's just difficult like so many others.
Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of musicians around, and I suppose when you do, it's not so much that you necessarily categorize yourself or put yourself into a box, but I mean, as soon as you utter the word lesbian and say a few she's, well, and I suppose attaining any kind of profile, that is going to be mentioned about you.
Absolutely.
So whether you like it or not, being an out lesbian is going to require that you are going to be a lesbian singer-songwriter.
Sure. I mean, I've fantasized about having interviews. I'm not that thrilled about them, but anyway.
You're doing real well.
I can just imagine being asked to be the token sort of dyke musician. And I thought in my head that I would very sort of seriously like to steer away from that. I'd like to be out, but I don't want to be a spokesperson either.
Yeah, but you want to say what you want to say from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
have that be valid.
Absolutely.
As valid as anybody else's experience.
Yeah.
Because it's your experience. I guess it's a question of what voice you choose to speak in, and I suppose that politically speaking, it's coming from your own perspective and from your own acknowledged subjective viewpoint.
That's it.
I don't see how anybody can have too many quarrels with that. And as far as having a profile and being called a lesbian artist, well, hey, there are worse things to be called. I think that about wraps it up.
Thank you so much, Deb.
Oh, thank you, Trace. And I hope people enjoyed that, because it's a treat to have live music, and there are some technical difficulties with doing it because mics and sound isn't necessarily in the studio wired exactly for what we're doing, but hopefully it sounded good, and you got a great voice.
Thanks.
Thanks, Trace.
Okay, bye.
Do I do that right away?
No, well, yeah, actually, as soon as we come back. No, well, yeah.
Oh, let's try to get more people in. Yeah. I'd like a few more, please.
Okay, Therese, I'll talk to you soon, eh?
Okay, great. Have a good day. Oh, can you drive Helen to Ottawa on Monday? In doing that, please.
This is the coming out garden party.
Yes.
Hey. Now we're all sitting here, and we've been sitting outside smoking cigarettes, deciding what we were going to say. And
I'm sorry.
And we have Fiona, Wendy, Chris, Tom, and
Deborah.
Okay, so lots of Deborahs. And where's my music? I want my music in the background. Where's my garden party music, guys? It's not there? Never mind. Anyway, okay. Here, I had this whole plan. Okay, so I guess we're going to be talking about what happened, when you decided that you were going to...
The numerous occasions.
Who was the first person that you told? This is what I want to know.
Friends, definitely.
Friends?
I think most people have told friends first.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so it's not that interesting a question.
Oh,
but
my story was interesting.
I had a friend tell me.
What, that you were gay?
I have a neighbor who's psychic, and I was...
You know, Wendy, it was in your cards, right?
No,
you had nothing to do with
this. This woman, her backyard faced my backyard, and I didn't know her that well, but I did work for her every so often, and she said to me, "You look upset today, do you want to talk?" And I thought, why does this woman ask me, do I want to talk? And I said, well, I'm tired. I went back home, and then she came over, and she said, "I have something to tell you. Well, you know that there are a lot of women that hang around at my place." And
uh-oh.
Yes. Well, I'm gay, and I thought you should know because, you know.
But all gay women look tired.
Yes.
Oh, no. I don't like the way this story is going.
She said, well, you know, if you want to talk, we can talk. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, there was something I wanted to talk to you about. And we ended up talking for about 2 hours. And the next week, she introduced me to about six other women. We all went out dancing, and I thought, so this is great. Okay.
Oh, come on. Now, there's a little bit of a strange transition there, you know. Well, the next week, a bunch of women, we all went dancing. Didn't something sort of happen in between that?
All gay women look tired and go out dancing. this story does not. They're tired.
How about you, Fiona?
Well, I never came out. I don't have a coming out story. But I've decided
Are you
that
out?
I missed. Yes, I was born out.
I really decided
that I've missed something, so I'm going to go in. By the end of this program, maybe I'll come up with it.
Okay. So you're coming out today.
So I'm going
today.
Well,
the studio's kind of like a club.
On air. Coming out today,
my
dear girl.
Give her a prize. It should be called a sauna party.
Yeah, really, it's really hot in here.
There's a closet party.
We may have our clothes all on.
That's right. This is a naked garden party for those of you that are at home. Chris.
Let's see. I guess the first person I came out to, besides people that I was involved with at the time, I think there's a difference between the people that you're sexually involved with and people that are just your friends.
Because they kind of know you're out, right? If, you know, you're having sex with them. Right.
Okay. It helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's true.
Gotta
hope my wife's not listening.
So the first person I told that was about 14, he was 13, and we used to, he had a paper route. And we used to steal my parents' car late at night, and we'd do his paper route. And one day after the paper route, we decided that we were going to go to Denny's. Denny's in the States is a kind of like an all-night joint. Caters to the senior citizen crowd, except
so I could see why you'd want to go there.
And I told him there, and he took it well, but he said, well, I kind of knew, since whenever I hit you, you would flinch.
I mean, what does that mean?
That's terrible. And I mean, for a 13-year-old, he did, with 13-year-old conceptions of what gay life is like, I mean, that wasn't a bad reaction. He could have. I asked him when he got in the front seat of the car if he really wanted to sit there, and he said, yeah, no problem.
So yes, I really do.
Did you expect him to say he wanted to ride in the roof?
Well, I assumed that this was my first experience, and I thought, well, he wouldn't want to sit in the front seat with me. I would sit in the back. That I mean, it was a nice, I don't know, I thought it was a nice gesture. Too.
Tom.
Well, I have so many coming out stories, I don't know.
No,
the first.
Oh, sure!
There are still firsts to be had at my age. I am so reassured.
It's a continual experience.
I think we're
experience.
Always coming out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I came out to my parents, but I mean, I had no choice.
They caught you.
They caught me. I was a bad boy. And
tell,
was,
tell.
Well, I was.
What were you
I
doing?
Working, I was working at a restaurant, and I was about 16, and I was working in the kitchen. And then I realized at some point there was something strange about the staff at this restaurant, especially the waiters. So, and
it's not terribly unusual, is it?
No, but at that age, I was kind of naive. So, anyway, one night, one of the waiters asked me to go out for a drink after work, so I did, and I didn't come home until about.
3 days later.
Yes. And then I came up to my parents, and so it was kind of a.
After they locked you into.
Yes. Yes. After they
changed.
Yeah. That's the story I wanted to hear about you when you were 15.
Oh.
This is great.
I told you that in.
Oh, sorry.
I have to bear this while you're
well, I
think
oh,
so.
Yes.
It's very interesting. When I was about 15, I went to a private school, and I had a very nice girlfriend, a close friend, who I sort of a close. And it was New Year's Eve, and this was the first time I ever drank champagne. And her parents said to us, we're going to let you, I was sleeping over, and they said, we're going to let you use our bedroom, and don't worry, here's the key. You can lock the door and do anything. You won't be disturbed.
Now that's
isn't
kind of strange.
Maybe
they were filming you.
This is what I read around looking for film. And of course, I will say, just in case she's listening and recognizes the story, that we did nothing.
Well, I'm sorry. What's your definition of nothing?
Is that not weird?
Nothing, yes.
Is that not
weird?
Well,
I think that's strange.
That is very bizarre.
Unusual.
What did your girlfriend think about all of this?
I have no idea. I think she's probably married and has 5 children, which has nothing to do with
lives
how well
West
I did
Mount.
When I was 15, of course. I just love that on record.
Okay, now we have a telephone number that we want to give out because we want
yes.
you to share in our little garden party here. And Wendy's going to do that.
It's 398-4616. You can call 398-4616 and tell us your coming out story.
That's right.
Or come out on air for the first time.
That would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Fiona.
Just imagine.
Deborah.
Okay. Now, I don't really want to talk about who I first told. I have something I call the lesbian campfire story.
Oh, yeah. It sounds good. It sounds good.
It's not what you think. I'm about 11, 12 years old, and I was a naive child.
not as naive as I was.
She's reassuring how we make up for lost time, isn't it?
Hallelujah for growth spurts. Yeah. So as far as I was concerned, I grew up in a small town. As far as I was concerned, I didn't. Lesbian wasn't even a part of my vocabulary. I didn't know it was there. Now, I think I was around 11 years old, and that was the time that the Neil Sedaka tune was out. Ooh, I hear laughter in the rain. And I thought that was a woman, and so I'd hear this on the radio, and I'd think, wow, there's a woman singing about another woman. And I just thought, well, that's neat. So I'm camping with my folks somewhere in Maine, and we're sitting around the campfire, and my mom starts humming that tune, starts singing that tune. And I said to her, well, Mom, that's a bit funny that you're singing that song about another woman, isn't it? But, well, I guess it'd be okay if you were a lesbian. My brothers were younger than I was, and they immediately, what'd she say? And And my parents looked at me with well, shock, I guess. You know, where did you learn that word, Deborah? I don't know. To this day, I don't know where it came from. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and just, I don't know.
It was there from the beginning.
Okay, there is actually somebody who's going to talk to us.
Yay.
And join in our little soiree here. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
And it's a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hi.
Are you going to come out to us on air?
No, I've been out for about 10 years now.
Okay, tell us what happened.
Okay, I got a crush on this friend that I had had for a very long time, and when I realized what was going on inside me, I was kind of excited. Kind of made everything come together for me and explained a lot of things. And I went to the bathroom. I was in college, and I went into the bathroom to talk to a friend of mine about it. There was a lesbian, hair and doing whatever. I was explaining to my friend, going. This woman turned around and asked me if I was a lesbian. Well, at the time, I was shocked. I couldn't even say the word. I turned bright red and I ran out of the bathroom. I avoided her in college. 3 months every time I saw her. And she ended up being my first lover. I met her at a bar about 4 months later, and we got along really well.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. There's sort of, you're cutting in and out, but I think I got the gist of it. So you met your first lover in the bath, in a washroom, was that it?
A washroom? College. It was a stranger to me. I had no idea who this woman was, and she had been eavesdropping on my conversation. And when she confronted me about what I was talking about to this other girl, I was too shocked to answer her because no one had ever come out and said it to me before or asked me if I was gay.
I see.
And I was very taken aback, and I guess my conservative side took over, and I ran out of the bathroom. I was terrified.
Oh, that's so cute. I can empathize with you because I had someone who said she was afraid to be in an elevator with me when she figured out that my place had 2 bedrooms and my son slept in one and I slept with the other woman in the other bedroom. And I said, well, how many straight men are you afraid to be in the elevator with?
Same thing, I guess.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I've enjoyed Gay Day.
Great.
It's been really good.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, that was interesting.
Quite interesting.
I should have to start loitering in washrooms.
Well, this is it, yeah, where to pick up your lovers.
I see where my future lies.
I have a little coming out story because this is just a very brief one, but I seem to have made a practice of coming out all the time now that I'm I am out. It took me until I was 32 to come out, but when I did, I went to my office and they asked me, where have you gone on your holidays? And I said, well, to New York. And they said, oh, did you see the Empire State Building? Did you go to Staten Island? Did you do Ellis Island? And I said, no, I went for the Gay Pride Parade. And everyone went, oh, and they walked away. And no one talked about it after that. But it was out there.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a music break and see if we can... can you give out the telephone number again so people...
It's 398-4616. Okay. Come out and play with us.
Great. Here's Diana Ross on CKUT. We'll be right back. Well, they're going to put my music back on, I think, because we're having our little coming out garden party today.
Yay! We have music by a gay composer.
That's right.
Tchaikovsky, so it's totally gay garden party.
But we all know that Diana Ross isn't gay. Okay, so now we're going to go to Debbie, who's going to tell us a few things about her life.
Yes. Do tell.
Do tell. What happened?
Well, actually, my coming out, my family coming out was quite the event. I had set this whole thing up, you know, very nervous. I was, Mom, Grandma, I need to meet you. I need to speak with you. So I had been, for years, been saying to my mother, in hinting ways, I'm not going to get married, Mother, but I may have a child. So that was my kind of, as close as I could come to coming out. So anyway, by the time she was so curious, I guess she just assumed that I was coming to tell her I was pregnant. And I was quite excited about it.
She's pregnant!
We had dinner and we kind of sat around and I was, you know, really nervous. And she was finally looked over at me and said, oh, please, go ahead, tell me, what is it? And I couldn't quite figure out what she was so excited about, but I nervously started my little speech that ended, you know, 15 minutes of just, was once I had started, I couldn't finish. And my grandmother sat there throughout the whole experience, looking as if she was constipated with this, her brows were knitted and she was, her jaw was open and she was looking quite disturbed. And my mother was, her face was just lit up when she said, go ahead, tell me. And then I started telling her and little by little, her face started to drop until finally her head was in her lap. And my grandmother wanted to know which doctor I could see to get the proper injections of hormones
get
that I was
sorted out.
Missing.
Get it sorted out.
Yeah. No, seriously. Well, maybe we should look through the phone book. Is there anything? Meanwhile, she still has this knotted look on her face. She still had that, you know. And my mother just, after me going on for 15, 20 minutes, finally just lifted her head and looked at me and said, are you telling me you're a lesbian? And I went, very timidly, yes. And she got up and ran to the bathroom and cried for 10 minutes. So, but then she came out 5 minutes later as if nothing had happened.
And it wasn't anything for the
it
next 10
like
years.
It was like so
right,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just going through a passing phase.
We just
that.
Won't talk about it.
But I do need to say that she has come leaps and bounds, and now she even sent Christmas presents to my lover this year.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I mean, just like, big time. Sign them, Mom Viney.
That's
big stuff.
That's a pretty common theme.
Oh. Yeah.
We're talking about coming out for the next until 6 o'clock, and the telephone number here is 398-4616. That's CKUT. That's 398-4616, and we'd like you to help us in our conversation.
I'm sure people must have lots of fun coming out stories.
Oh, yeah.
I had a coming out that took 3 days.
You would.
It sounds like you were giving birth or something.
Just do it, you know?
No, because at one time, I came out very late. And when I look back now, I was playing doctor with a girl down the street at the age of 5 all summer. We never got caught.
I used to play daddy so I could kiss mommy goodbye. I left her and then kiss her hello when I came home from work.
But
you're sick.
I know.
But I repressed this until I was 32. And at 32, I came out, and then I got a lover, and then I had to tell my son. You know what it is to tell a son?
Oh my god, that must be wild.
That, yeah, it took me 3 days, because the first day I took him out to McDonald's, and I said, well, you know, like, which friends of mine do you like, and which friends of mine are kind of boring? And of course, all of my gay and lesbian friends were really fun. They liked to go hiking, they included him in the activities and whatever. And all the straight friends, all they want to do is go to dinner and talk. And then the next day, I took him to a little nicer restaurant. We went to Cricket's. And I said, well, you know, at the time he was 12. And we went to Cricket's and he was told, well, you know, Pierre that you really liked that bought you the little stuffed animal for Christmas? Well, he's gay. Oh, okay. And then, well, you know, Alex and Patrick, well, they're gay too. Oh, that's new. I said, well, maybe it's new to you. It's not new to them. And, well, you know, my friend that stays over a lot, well, she's gay. And he goes, oh, okay. That was it. Then the next morning at breakfast, I said, you know what we were talking about yesterday? I said, well, I'm gay too. pass the cereal, please?
I want to go to crickets again, Mommy.
Which restaurant are we going to tonight? I like this gay life. You eat so well.
3 days and all I get is pass the cereal. And this year he's going to Gay Pride with me in New York, and he wants to carry a sign that says, my mom's a dyke and that's all right.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Wow. Really cool, yeah. He's going down on a bus with 32 gay men. Should I
worry? Should you worry? How old is he? Worried. Okay, the number again is, I want people to call. It's 398-4616. If you're listening to Gay Day and you think you have a story that is interesting, or even if it's not interesting, like we'll make it interesting.
Instance, yeah, Fiona was pretty barring.
What's your opinion?
Well, mine was, Jessica's looking at me. I'm so glad he's gonna talk. It was very, very sort of brief, and it was simply that I got very drunk with my mother's maid one night. And said,
what?
By the way, I'm homosexual. She told my mother. But the thing that happened, which I think was a little awful for my mother, is I went off on a boat for a week with a guy. You know, this guy owned this boat. He invited me to sort of take a cruise, so to speak. And my mother was apparently very nervous about this whole thing because he was twice my age. And
a self-avowed homosexual.
That's right, self-avowed. Yes. And she's a church-going woman.
I think we should talk about tips, coming out tips, because one of the things I did...
Oh, that's
I
interesting, yeah.
...was, I mean, to come out to my friends, I came out to one friend, actually, Debbie, who had, at the time, the biggest mouth in my...
There is a strategy.
It was very efficient, you know? I only got to tell one person, and that was it, you know? It's like the next day.
The news was around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At work, I'm very out, and there was one woman who dislikes me, I guess. She never told me that, but I guess she went up to someone in the office and said, oh, guess what, Wendy's a lesbian. And the woman, who is also a dyke, said, so? It kind of fell through, and I thought that was quite apropos.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say to people who perhaps are in the situation where they wanted to come out to their family or their friends?
And we'll talk to them.
Well, girl, I think what you should do is
run it by us first. I don't think that's quite the way to do it. But
I mean, there are lots of different ways, and the problem is that everybody's got different parents, and everybody's parents have different backgrounds and religious backgrounds, and in terms of political afflictions.
Political afflictions.
Well, one good tip is to be on the offensive rather than on the defensive. Yeah. They say, are you gay? And you go, well, of course. Mm-hmm. And then there, everyone gets taken aback because, what does she mean, of course? That means, I should have known. Oh my God, I'm socially inept. And while they're having their conniption, then you can like waltz off and, you know, save the day.
But I think the theme of medicine and doctors is important to mention too, because my parents ended up sending me to a psychiatrist, which actually worked out to my benefit, because I ended up having a really cool psychiatrist to help me. But in the end, I mean, he asked to see my parents, so, you know, reversal.
Serves them right.
Yeah.
Well, my mother actually was the one that went to the psychiatrist after I told her. She kind of went through the book to try to find homophobic.
What did
I do? She went through three of them, actually, before she could find one that would actually say, yes, it is your fault, you know.
Wow.
I told my mother while I was brushing my teeth. My mother used to have
Oh, come on, you did not.
You haven't told anybody.
That is a lie.
Well, of course I told my mother. I mean, I was born gay, so I feel it is her fault. Mother, I apologize. But my mother, for years, would talk to me about a hope chest. I don't even know what a hope chest is.
Oh, yeah.
I heard of them.
And stories.
She also had this one.
Wendy knows all about hope
chests. I'm very old.
They have skin plants for that.
And my mother also used to burst in on me whenever I was in the bathroom. Two very annoying things. Hope chests and no privacy in the bathroom can make you an imposter.
Or a lesbian.
So one night, I'm in mid brushing my teeth. I have great oral hygiene.
I wonder why.
My mother. Oh, I'm not even going to answer that question.
Oh, boy.
My mother bursts in and says, Darling, I'm so excited. I was just thinking of something else to pop into your hope chest. And I just sort of. I looked at
now
her
I know
said,
what a hope chest is.
I looked at her and I said, you know, Mom, there's just no way. It's too late for that. And she said, and I remember she shut the bathroom door and she sat down on the toilet, which is not a great way to have a conversation because I can't take her seriously. And she said in this voice of doom, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, I'm a lesbian. I'm gay. My mother didn't know what that meant, really.
Oh,
no.
So I had to go into all these explanations and.
Oh no.
Yes, and I don't think I really knew. No wonder we're confused. No wonder I've never come out of the closet. You see, this is or the bathroom. Anyway, she has got sort of used to it. That she still, I think, she says things like, "Are you sure?" You know, as she sees my lovers coming and going, and she has this terrible habit. Where my phone number is in her phone book, she uses whiteout, and it's now 2 inches thick. for my lover's phone numbers, you see, so. Well, that's another one of my stories. Who's laughing at that? That's very unkind.
Willow, come on in here.
We want to hear
your story. Willow has a very interesting story.
The studio just collapsed.
In the meantime, the telephone number here at CKUT is, we don't have a phone anymore. I think somebody just crushed it. But 398-4616. That's 398-4616 if you want to call and tell us about what happened to you. Now, Puelo.
No, Puelo.
It's too good.
Oh, look, he brought his cup of coffee. It's going to be a long one.
Puelo's got the story about learning to...
This is very interesting, Puelo. I don't know about anybody else here, but when I was 12, I wasn't doing the things that Puelo was doing.
Well, actually, to clarify this, I was actually caught when I was 9 with my cousin. And you see, he was sleeping over. His aunt was staying with us. His mother was staying with us, and we were sharing a bedroom. And we had two different beds. And mother, thinking that the great stunt, like, what are you doing in this bed? Rips open the sheets, and my pajama bottoms are around my ankle. with my little doinker, like, pointing straight up, right? So she takes him, my cousin, out of
your
the room.
Your little doinker?
I was only 9. I was 9, right? And so my cousin blurted out the beans, and... you know, my mother, being kind of cool, said, well, you know, it's not wrong, but it's not something that, you know, you should do. Well, then at 12...
This is where it gets interesting.
I had...
Still with his little doinker pointing.
When I was shaving by then, so I could still sort of sneak into the bars. And I went out with this 16-year-old friend, and we went out and got really, really wailed. And of course, when you're 12 and you're 16 and you go into a bar, well, you have no problem getting drinks, right? So we got tanked, and we went to Hull, and somehow I sweet-talked the doorman into letting us in, because he wasn't going to let us in. And so I went to, I ended up sitting at a table and passing out, and a dyke would come by every once in a while and pull my head up by my hair and say, "You can't sleep here." So, so somehow I was feeling kind of ill, and I ended up in the bathroom and threw up. And then the doorman who let me in showed me a place in the bar and said, "Here, you can sleep here." I ended up, Hull is open till 3 o'clock, and we ended up in a restaurant till about 5 a.m. I guess I was like passed out in my soup or something. And I ended up going home with this guy. The 16-year-old guy that I was with ended up like halfway to Montreal in a pickup truck with two other guys, and apparently his story is nightmarish, but mine was...
Where is he?
call us. When I spoke to him later, he was quite taken aback with the whole thing, where I ended up going home with this guy and then immediately like chucking my cookies all over him. So anyway, needless to say, I woke up the next morning and realized that I hadn't gone home that night. So I was freaked. And my mother, thinking that, knowing that something was up, that I was keeping secrets, ended up going through my drawers and finding out a bunch of phone numbers. And so I was seeing this guy, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just run over to his place. And he says, "Oh, your mother was here this morning." And I'm going, "Oh, my God." And I said, "Well, what did you say, you know?" And, well, he dropped the bomb. He said, "Well, I told her." And I said, "You told her what? That you're gay?" And I went, "No." So anyway, this person who I trusted so much to tell her, like, my biggest, deepest secret, you know, blurted out. So I ran away from him, too, and ended up back at the bar. So the doorman comes, and he says, "Well, your mother's sitting outside." And I'm like, "What?"
He's going, "Yeah." So, like,
I'm doing the big jog to the back door, right? And he goes, no, you can't do that. So I said, "Okay, well, I'll go in the car." So I go in the car, and she's going, "You know, like, come home with me." And I'm going, "No, I want to go back in the bar, you know?" So it's like, well, no, you have to come with me. And I'm going, no, I want to go in there. You know, even then I knew that, you know, where my rightful place was.
And you've been in bars ever since.
That's it.
With his drinker.
Oh, no, I won't.
And so that's basically the coming out story to my family anyway.
Well, wow. Isn't that something?
Quite a word.
Has anyone ever been outed by a friend, lover?
My mother.
My mother's maid.
My mother asked me, well, she presented herself to me one evening and said, I have some questions to ask you. And I was on my way out the door and I was just like, oh no, this is going to happen.
She didn't think you were pregnant.
No. Well, I thought she was first worried I'm from Washington. She was worried that I was going to go downtown by myself. I thought that's what she was talking about. She said, I'm worried about you. I said, Mom, I can handle myself. I don't go in any bad areas. And she said, no, no, no. Your lifestyle. Like,
lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Oh.
Of the poor and useless.
So I walked back into the room and she goes, so do you go to bars? I said, yeah. And she handled it pretty well. She said, oh, it'll take me a couple days to get used to this.